board. Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Midwifery Business Consultation. I have my good friend, Carolyn Geiger, a certified nurse midwife that runs Ultrasound for Midwives. We put together this series of education. I've had lots of questions for her. I know a lot of midwives and advanced practice providers have had lots of questions. One of the topics that's just fascinating to me was just the history of ultrasound. I know Carolyn has such a wealth of knowledge she'll dig into, but just talking about where we have gone, particularly as midwives, in the history of ultrasound and where we'll go in the future. So, Carolyn, if you want to talk a little bit about yourself and answer those questions.
Good morning. This is Carolyn Geiger, and I'll tell you a little bit about the course of how ultrasound has developed in the United States. The earliest times that ultrasound was present in the United States was actually in the late 1960s and began to be involved in clinical practice across the country, particularly in tertiary care centers and such, in the early 1970s. And that's when I got involved in ultrasound. I was asked if I would come and work and learn to do obstetric ultrasound. Well, I had watched the physician who had brought it into our hospital and got it started, and I was very intrigued and said, sure, I'd be glad to do that. And then I found out that there wasn't any training available because they said, we'll send you to training anywhere you want to go. Well, there wasn't any. And I looked really hard and didn't find it. So I began to get to know other people who were doing ultrasound, sonographers, physicians, and most of the ultrasound at that time in all of abdominal ultrasound, neurologic ultrasound, OBGYN, and cardiac were almost all being done within radiology. Cardiology had begun to carve out their little niche in ultrasound, but otherwise it was within radiology. And I did approach a physician that I was a labor and delivery nurse. I approached a physician who did ultrasound at a hospital that was neighboring to mine and asked for some help in learning ultrasound. And he was very clear that this was only for physicians to do. And that just spurred me on a little bit. So, a couple years later, when we were giving presentations, he couldn't come at the last minute and sent his slides over and said, you can give them as well as I can. So nurses,
it's amazing that transition in just a couple short years. I mean, you are the trailblazer, in my opinion, of just ultrasound access to other providers besides radiology and physicians. But keep going.
It was very interesting to see how it all happened. I worked for several years in a radiology department doing full scope ultrasound. So I did abdominal ultrasounds, cardiac ultrasounds, as well as OBGYN, and we were doing a little bit of neurologic work at that point in time. And had the good fortune of being involved in the development of the registry of ultrasound. So I was the second chair of the American Registry of Diagnostic Medical Sonographers. We were very concerned that this brand new practice was going to be done soon by just any old buddy that wanted to do it. And we wanted to make sure that quality was established. And so we put together the registry that required certain levels of education and scanning skills to be able to become a registered sonographer. It caught on very quickly, and in the first year, few years, we did both written exams as well as oral exams. And the oral exams very quickly became rather cumbersome to be done with getting both skilled providers to proctor the exams and people coming from around the country to show their skills. And it went to being entirely a written exam as it is today. At that point in time, no education was necessary except some previous healthcare knowledge. Now it's necessary to have at least an AA degree in X-ray technology or in ultrasound technology to be able to sit for that exam, or as a nurse to have gotten coursework in ultrasound and be able to document your competency through the registry exam. In the last few years, there has been now a registry exam set up for certified nurse midwives and for certified midwives. And hopefully that's going to expand very soon to include other nurse practitioners and PAs as well. Along the way, obstetric ultrasound became much more under the guise of OBGYN. And in fact, the specialty of maternal fetal medicine was founded based on the amount of ultrasound that was available at that point in time, that they were able to now have the fetus as their as a patient independently, because they were able to see and to begin to treat the fetus in utero, where ultrasound made a big difference. During the early years, we had just, the screen was green and or black and gray, and just had lots of dots. It didn't have the gray scale and stuff that we have now, and they had all still images instead of the real-time images that we're so used to seeing now. So huge technological changes happened over the first 10 to 20 years of ultrasound, and it went from being done by only these great big huge unwieldy machines to smaller machines with real-time capability, smaller transducers, much more freedom in being able to scan well and get good quality images and information.
Well, it makes me think of just the computer. I mean, technology, it starts out really, really expensive, huge, whole rooms, and then it shrinks and shrinks, and you've got more knowledge in your hand now than the entire room had. And so, yeah, technology has its goods and bads. I know as midwives, we're always a little biased that we don't want too much technology in our lives and our client care, but...
Well, and it's, I always say we want to have appropriate use of technology. And that's been one of the struggles, is trying to figure out, does everybody need a very full scope, genetics up through lots of detailed exams of fetal anatomy and such, or do they just need some specific information? Dating has become one of the solid rocks of our profession, to be able to really date pregnancies as early as possible and as well as possible. So that's something that has been solidified. But then the rest of it is really very much a matter of patient preference, information that they want to have, that they need to have to make decisions. And it goes all the way up through identification of abnormalities that are treatable in utero, and that's outside the scope of midwifery and nurse practitioner guidelines, but we really have developed this to where we can see with 3D and 4D ultrasound now to really make tremendous identification of abnormalities, and now are developing ways of caring for the baby in utero in ways we never
think about, Carolyn, when I'm thinking about when you're talking is just like the time sensitivity of sometimes things, like, okay, it's this big machine in a room and only few people know how to use it. And when you expand the scope of midwives, advanced practice providers, and having a handheld and triage and real-time decision-making, I mean, the safety, I can't imagine how much better clinical decisions are being made because we have real-time, pretty quick, relatively quick, if it's in the triage or a location that's readily available.
Yes, we used to do our scans and then set them aside and have them evaluated and written out. And sometimes it was days or a week before you would get the information out to the patients, which now we can use a handheld device and do a biophysical profile at the bedside and have the information immediately. And it's one of the reasons that point of care ultrasound now has become so popular and important in many different aspects of medicine, but specifically for us in obstetrics, to be able to do very, very quick first trimester dating, determination of fetal viability, looking at a biophysical profile, using just a simple handheld device, and they're not much bigger than my phone, and it's just amazing the information that we can get. They're not appropriate for doing big full scope studies, but they are appropriate for getting very specific information when we need that information to make management decisions at the bedside at the time that we get the information. And we get information to the patient and we can make decisions on how we're going to manage that information. And so it's been a huge change from the early days of ultrasound. And now, it's not just in radiology, it's also in OB. It's not just in big hospitals, it's in every place where patients are cared for. If it's in their home, if it's in a birth center, a traditional practice, certainly, or in the big hospitals and such. So the patient can be managed with so much more information than I could possibly have given them 50 years ago. So it's amazing all the changes that have been made.
Well, and that makes me curious when we hint more towards the future. I think there's become a dyad of cosmetically using ultrasound versus medical indications. And that's part of why you and I are so passionate about education and certifications and awareness for our patients and our midwives in advanced practice, because I think too many times it's used for not a medical indication, or it's more of a side business hustle that may not be, we don't know the true risk and benefits to the extent of a cute picture of 4D ultrasound they can get for $75. So I'm curious your perspective of where do you see ultrasound going in the future? Do you see it more focusing for the medical side, or are we going to see more expansion of the fun boutique side?
I hope that what we're going to see is more expansion of the medical side and more hands-on at the bedside used by routinely by advanced practice nurses, by registered nurses who are also doing some ultrasound. Typically, the registered nurses are not making diagnoses, but are gaining the information and passing it on to their consultant physicians. The keepsake ultrasounds, as they're called, are really frowned upon because there's no regulation of that industry, and they really are not holding themselves responsible for identification of abnormalities or problems that may arise. And I have done some cold calling to them to ask questions like, you know, what if you find an abnormality, and got the response of, that's not my problem. And I think it is all of our problems. And
until there's a lawsuit, and then it's held to that standard that, oh, this kid was missing an arm and you saw it on that cute picture and didn't direct him to the appropriate place.
The FDA has definitely frowned on use of medical instrumentation for non-medical purposes, as have all of the organizations that write the guidelines and set policies and procedures for ultrasound. So hopefully we're not going to see more for fun, but patients will benefit tremendously from getting information directly from their provider at their bedside. Yeah. And not have to wait until
real-time answers and real-time decision-making has a huge safety aspect. The other direction I would like you to branch into is the future of the scope of practice. I know currently there's a certification process for certified nurse midwives and certified midwives, but we have talked a couple times briefly about just the other utilization of ultrasound. So physician's assistants, nurse practitioners, certified professional midwives. If you want to talk about what you think you're going to see in the future, what's currently happening, that would be great with that accreditation process.
Well, what is currently happening is we do have the certification exam. Again, it's for point of care limited ultrasound for certified nurse midwives and certified midwives. We are within the American Registry of Diagnostic Medical Sonographers and Teleos. We are addressing the idea of having this exam available to other advanced practice providers as well. And what I foresee is that there will be certification available for all advanced practice providers, and that beyond that, it will become part of their standard of care, in that there's push within the educational organizations to include ultrasound as part of the standard basic education. And so it would become a part of their regular standard of care. And I see that happening in relatively a short period of time.
So at this point, it's more of an additional training. It's within the scope of a certified nurse midwife, certified midwife, to get the credentialing. But right now, it's more of an additional training, depending on the scope of the organization you're working with for PAs and NPs. Is that the understanding?
That's right. That's right. Okay. So I think we have lots of great opportunity for the future as this continues.
Well, thank you so much, Carolyn. I have learned so much from you, and I hope everybody else has. Until our next chat, you have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You do the same.